praying is for the furtherance of the gospel. You see, brother, sister, sometimes you think the chain will limit you. No. Sometimes you think, now that's the end of it. But brother, sister, that's only the beginning. Now, through that chain, the gospel is able to penetrate into the heartland of Roman Empire. That is the household of Caesar. So in some way, at the very end, you see, the some brothers and sisters are in the palace. We do not know the detail, but anyway, they greet those saints in Philippi. So brothers and sisters, can you believe that there's something, just this is not something small, there's something very big. For Paul, he thought that I can only do this much. But God always does something more. But the only thing God required of us, trust and obey. As long as we learn the lesson how to be led by the Holy Spirit, then you see that step by step, and to your surprise, you only think this much, but God thinks much, much more. When God wants to use you, brothers and sisters, now you just cannot imagine. In the beginning, you thought you are useless, but somehow God began to use you. Not only according to your dream, not according to your will, sometimes according to His will, to His dream. So when one day, when you look back, you will just worship the Lord. How God can perform such a wonderful work. Now, what is Philippi? Very interesting, brothers and sisters. Yes, Philippi is the cradle of Greek Empire. But after that great battle, 42 before Christ, that decisive battle, then this city become very important. So this city become the colony of Roman Empire. So this city is become the miniature of Rome. So when you visit Philippi, brothers and sisters, as if you just visit Rome, it's a miniature of Rome. So that's why, brothers and sisters, when you read the story happened in Philippi, it's very interesting, you see. Now, remember how Paul cast out the demon from a girl. Then, of course, then the master of the girl lose all the gain, lose all the interest, no more money. So now they were so angry, they really get the Paul to the marketplace. Now, where's the marketplace? Now, if you read this one, now, you see, this is Ignatia Highway, okay, Roman Highway. Now, south of it, now this part is called Roman Forum. So, now, if you read the satellite map, you see, this is the Ignatia Highway. Now, ancient one, even today, still ancient highway. So then it was split these two parts. You have Basilica here, you have Basilica here. So right here, you have this one. You have this forum. Forum itself is about 100 meter by 50 meter. It's a huge one. Then, of course, you have some other things. And then you have two entrances from the highway. Now, one entrance this corner, another one this corner. West, east corner, and west, east corner, and that's east, northeast and northwest. Okay? And then here you have fountain. When you enter your fountain, then in the middle, that's called Bema. Bema is 38 meter high. Why? Because all magistrates, all the officers, all important, all the judges, they will stay there to either pass on the judgment. You see? And then because they were so angry, so they brought Paul there. Paul there. And then, of course, they did damage to him. Now, so he suffered. Finally, Paul put into the prison. Now, prison most likely right here, somewhere like here. Okay? So, but anyway, and that's what happened because then you see these people are very proud of being a Roman. He said these Jews try to give us something that we can accept as a Jew, as a Romans. So you can see that this definitely is a Roman city. So, brother, sister, remember, Paul, he wrote a letter from Rome, metropolitan Rome, to a miniature of Rome, Philippi. So every day, everything there is very Roman, very, very Roman. How do we know? That's how Paul preached the gospel to them. So when the jailer asked Paul, what should I do? What should we do? Should be saved. Now, what did Paul's answer? Believe what? Believe in the Lord Jesus. So here we are told the Lord Jesus. Why Lord Jesus? Now remember, either in book of Philippians, letter to Philippians, if you read the book of Acts chapter 16. Now if you read that, this portion of the Bible, very interesting. You know, strictly speaking, Paul is supposed to preach the word of gospel to jailer. No. The Bible said, for jailer, preach the word of the Lord. And you should believe in Lord Jesus. Now, why not just Jesus? Why Lord Jesus? Because at that time, in Roman Empire, emperor always called himself Lord. So you always say, Lord Caesar. Lord Caesar. Now, Lord is a very, very important word. But now, brothers and sisters, for Christians, there is only one Lord. Jesus is the Lord. So why you should believe? Believe in Lord Jesus. That's why at the end of this wonderful lecture, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, and if you read this letter again from time to time, you see the word Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. So now you can understand that that's definitely is that kind of atmosphere in Philippi. And everybody as a Roman citizen, they are very proud because they are free men. They have special privilege. They have this and that. So with that background, remember what Paul did tell us just in that background. Paul tells us, he said, now, for our citizenship is in heaven. Now, according to the translation of Robert Govett, now the accurate translation is, for our city is in heaven. What does that mean? You, Philippians, you are so proud of your city. You are so proud of your colony. You are so proud of your privilege. But don't forget, our city is in heaven. So that's the best translation. You see, sometimes our conversation is in heaven. Now, of course, some translation, our citizenship is in heaven. But I think the best one is our city is in heaven. So, my brothers and sisters, now you can see that here you find such a contrast. You have a kingdom, Roman Empire. You have kingdom of heaven. So, brothers, sisters, now, if you read this letter carefully, you'll find that this epistle is a kingdom epistle. The reason we have to march on, the reason we should press on, the reason we should work out our salvation, brothers, sisters, remember, as a Roman citizen, you know how to build the Roman Empire. You know how to build all the highway to Rome. Now, brother, sister, the same thing here. You see that with that background, Paul tried to remind the people in Philippi. Now, don't forget. Yes, from the very beginning, you labor for the gospel. From the very beginning, you participate in the gospel campaign. For from the very beginning, now we bring the gospel to Europe. We bring the gospel to the world. Now, thank the Lord. Now, when the church in Philippi, they not only strive together to preach the gospel, also they send all the need, financial need to Paul. Wherever Paul goes, you see, you find that the need really follow. Think about it. In order to evangelize the whole Europe, in order to conquer the whole world, Now, definitely there are many, many great needs, including financial need. Now, who is behind it? Brothers, sisters, church in Philippi was behind it. You never imagine. In the beginning, even there was no synagogue. Only a place for to pray, that's all. Only by the side of river. Only a sister. Starting from the weaker vessel, God was able to do a wonderful work. So, brother, sister, now you can see. Now, outwardly speaking, you see the Roman Empire, Greek Empire. But, brothers, sisters, now, when Paul tried to write to them, not only commend them, not only praise them, not only thank them for their effort for the gospel, but also remind them much more that the gospel is not behind the gospel, actually, is a kingdom of heaven. And then we ought to live according to that kingdom measurement. We ought to press on toward the mark. So, because our city is in heaven. So by this way, you can see that the scope here is much bigger than we think. It's much bigger than we think. So before I explain a little bit more, let me just remind you a little bit more. That should be enough. Now, if you study Daniel chapter 2, now you see the statue, four parts, golden part, golden head, silver breast, and so on and so forth. See, it represents four empires. It's clear. But then when you come to chapter 7, again, four beasts also represent four empires. So in that statue, you find that there is a rock finally hit at the feet part and smashed into pieces. So that represents that by Jesus coming back, now definitely he will conclude the whole world. So then there will be the fifth kingdom, that is the Messianic kingdom, that is the Millennium kingdom. That we know, you see. So when you study the second chapter, you know that there will be a kingdom will come at the end of time. And it will hit at the feet. So that's chapter 2. But now when you come to chapter 4, something different. Why something different? Yes, you have four beasts corresponding to four parts. Gold, silver, bronze, and iron. You see, one-to-one correspond. And in chapter 2, you have a rock. In chapter 5, in chapter 7, you have the kingdom. You have Son of Man. And you see the Son of Man will come, finally obtain the kingdom. Now we know that should be the kingdom of the Son of Man. That's fourth one, that's fifth one. If it's fifth one, we think it must be corresponding to the kingdom which will arrive at the end time. But if you read your Bible carefully, it is not so. Why? Because according to Daniel interpretation, that four beasts represent four kings and also represent four kingdoms. And these four kings are supposed to be the representative of these four kingdoms. And all these four kings recorded in the Bible. The name are there. The first one, Nebuchadnezzar. Second one, Cyrus. Third one, Alexander the Great. And also the fourth one from Roman Empire. But anyway, after the Son of Man only arrived after four kings. That means definitely the kingdom of Son of Man must be the fifth kingdom. After you have this Roman Empire, Babylonian Empire, Persian Empire, and also Greek Empire, finally Roman Empire. After that, then you should have fifth king. So very interesting. If you study your Gospel of Luke. Now, before Jesus was born, everybody had to register. Then some people had to go back. And then who gave the order? Now we find the name Augustus. Now, Augustus definitely is a representative emperor of Roman Empire. So right after that, then we were told that Jesus was born. And we were told that Lord Christ. Lord Christ, not Lord Caesar, Lord Christ in a manger. So, brothers and sisters, now we know that the fifth kingdom starts from the first coming of our Lord. And it will last all the way to the second coming of our Lord. And more than that, in Daniel 7, and you see something very interesting. You see someone who is carrying with a cloud with him. And then what? Then he approaching the throne. Now, brother and sister, you remember when Jesus ascended to heaven, he ascended to heaven from Mount of Olives to the cloud, and from the cloud to the throne. Now, John only saw from Mount Olives to the cloud. He never see from the cloud to the heaven, to the throne. It was Daniel who saw it. Daniel used the time telescope time. Then he really saw what happened. He really saw that, now one day, he really saw that moment when Jesus ascended to heaven. So, brothers and sisters, then when he reached the throne, Bible said he obtained the kingdom. Kingdom belonged to him. So, brothers and sisters, now what does that mean? That what happened, that's the testimony during the day of Pentecost. Now Peter was able to stand up and say that God already exalted him and anointed him as Lord and Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. So now you understand that the fifth kingdom actually is the kingdom of heaven. It's already start from the first coming of our Lord. Now, especially remember the inauguration of that kingdom is the day of Pentecost. So, my brother, sister, now things become very clear now. On the one hand, Paul should be able to bring the gospel to not only the religious world of Hebrew, and also cultural world of Greek, and also political and military world of Rome. Much more than that. Now, gospel should begin where the Roman Empire and Greek Empire began. Why? It's very simple. It means that now all you see is the world, is the kingdom belong to this world. But actually, now, when gospel being preached, what does that mean? That means somehow the kingdom of heaven began on earth. So, brothers and sisters, now if you really see that, now you are able to understand. Outwardly speaking, Paul was writing from the metropolitan Rome to the miniature of Rome, the same Roman world. But brothers and sisters, now these people, they were born from above. These people, they belong to the different kingdom. Our city is in heaven. So, brother, sister, for that reason, because of that, we have ambition. What do we mean by ambition? Ambition means you have to think big. Now, what is our ambition? To live and to die. Whether it is dying or whether it is death or is whether it's life or death. Now, our desire, our ambition is that Christ should manifest, not Lord. Now, he has been given a name above all the names. Now, all the knee should bow and address him. Now, brother, sister, do you see that? When we say, Lord Jesus, now that's kingdom of heaven. Now, when those people cry out, Lord Caesar, that's earthly kingdom. So, brother, sister, thank the Lord. How can you turn earthly kingdom into the heaven? Now, when they worship the idol, when they worship the emperor, when they were Gentile, when they fall into sin, my brother, sister, if you read Romans, now, how corrupt are they? They're not only sinners, but those sins are so dark. Today, don't forget, today we just repeat exactly what happened. Remember, it is because of the gospel. The world has been different. The world had no longer, according to that, not in the beginning, homosexual, in the beginning, all perverted. But because of gospel, everything being corrected. Brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. Because of the gospel has conquered the whole world, from Philippi all the way to Rome. And within that 10 years, now brothers and sisters, after 10 years, many things happen. But don't forget, the church in Philippi grows. and church, and that Paul himself also grow. Both Paul himself, both the church in Philippi, they have entered into a very deep experience. They start with some basic experience, but thank the Lord, that difference, that experience will deepen. That experience will widen. Now, finally, brothers and sisters, it takes such a deep person called Paul try to read a deep church who are really deep in Christ to appreciate Paul's message. So, brothers and sisters, even we are probably still not mature, even we probably just saved, or we do not know the Bible quite well, but at least this book is a very important book. If you know that background, if you know what is behind it, now you should understand the message. You do not wait until the end time, oh, now that's the kingdom. No, the kingdom already began. Now, kingdom already today, brother, sister, when we living on earth as it is in heaven, that's kingdom, heaven already began. Our city already began here. Yes, probably you are in Rome, probably in your Philippi. That's our earthly residence. But don't forget, brothers and sisters, the heaven already began. Our city is in heaven. We are different. So no wonder we do not serve our belly. No wonder we do not just consider the things of the earth. Now, no wonder we should have that ambition to live. For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Brothers, sisters, what is the value of our death? It is determined by the value of our living. How do you live your life? What is the purpose of our life? Are we eating for living, or we are living for eating? So, brothers, sisters, if we are only living for eating, then the death is no gain. Death become meaningless. Brothers and sisters, we have only one life. Now we have to determine what should be the value of our death. Now death can become almost nothing. Death may become a gain. Now it depends on how do you live your life. If you live your life to magnify Christ and Christ and Christ only. Now brothers, what is gain? Paul said, I want to consider everything as a loss, as refuse, in order to gain Christ. So to die is to gain Christ even more fully. Now, brothers, sisters, the important thing is how we are going to live on. If we live our life for ourselves, now, that's death. It's not worth to mention it. But thank the Lord. One day, the history will record your death and my death. And how heavy is that death? It depends on how heavy we did like that life. So, brother, sister, we begin with Christ as our life. Then, chapter 2, Christ as our pattern. Chapter 3, Christ as our goal. Chapter 4, Christ as our satisfaction. And thank the Lord for me to live is Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, do you know that? And especially for those who people live in Roman Empire, they are most proud. They build empire. They conquered the whole world. Think about it. They are the citizen. They enjoy all the privilege. My brothers, compared with the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Roman Empire is too small. And Greek Empire, so we have to remember this background in order for us to appreciate this letter to Philippians. So may the Lord really speak to our hearts. And tonight, only the beginning. So tomorrow, I think we should be able to get into this four chapter. Of course, the time is still very limited. We only just touch a little bit. Just try to give you some kind of idea. And it is a very deep book. The experience is very deep, but you know, spiritual experience is such that it can be very deep and at the same time also very, very elementary. So you don't have to be very afraid. You don't have to wait until one day you are going to understand this book. No, even today, you can experience it. Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, we can rejoice in the Lord even today. Of course, we may not be as deep as Paul. When Paul went through so much suffering, when the church in Philippi went through so much agony, when so much oppositions. Now, brothers, of course, when they say, when they experience, rejoice in the Lord, they're definitely much deeper. But don't forget, our Christian life is progressive. So that's why no one is able to say, we already attained. No one is able to say, we already perfect. No. Now, all we want to do is to forget what is behind and press on toward the mark. So think about it. In this book, you know, Paul talk about gain Christ. I mean, gain Christ. So that's the kingdom term. That's not, you see, sometimes when we talk about grace, wonderful, you see, everything's by grace. But think about it. But Paul now is talking about, I count everything as a loss, as refuse, in order to gain Christ. Think about it. How Paul is able to use that kind of term. Why talk about march on? Think about it. In chapter 1, Paul almost talk about he was compressed. He was pressed between the two. He didn't know that whether he should be with the Lord, which is far better, or he should live on for the sake of the church. Now think about it. When you have that kind of mentality, that means, who knows, probably 2 or 3 days later, already martyrdom. If you have that in your view, now brother, sister, are you thinking of march on? Are you thinking of press on? If you think you are just like Paul, he knew that that's almost the end of his life. He doesn't have to do anything anymore. Think about it. But when he wrote to Timothy, now bring that book. Why still have to read the book? He doesn't need the book anymore. The crown is waiting for him. But in the last moment, before his martyrdom, brother, sister, he said, I press on. I press on. That's Paul. So my brother, sister, may the Lord really speak to our hearts. Today, because when we talk about grace, we don't know grace. We misuse the grace. If we really talk about grace, the grace is so sufficient that we may be clothed with the power from on high. We can march on. We can press on toward the goal. So may the Lord really speak to our heart. That the tone of this letter is different. You see, it's so positive. It's so ambitious. It's so big. And think about Paul was in the prison, but actually he was running a race. He considered himself, he's still in the course of running. Think about it. He never stopped. He never think, oh, everything become great. Everything become, why we have to do that anymore? But no, you see, you can see that Paul, even he almost 64, but he more than 60 years old, but he has a youthful spirit, as if he's a young man, and always press on. So may the Lord really speak to our hearts. And this letter is indeed a wonderful letter. This letter really will kindle in our hearts, really to pursue, to press on. When Paul used the word pursue, actually in Greek, it means persecute. Formerly, how he persecuted the church, now he used the same strength and energy to pursue, to press on toward the goal. So I think this is very, very important. If you see that background. So remember, brother, sister, the church in Philippi involved with the gospel preaching. We involved with the furthering of the gospel. Yes, wonderful. Reach the world. But don't forget, we have to tell the people this gospel is with depth, with height, also with width. It's not shallow gospel. It's not gospel. If you believe in the gospel, then you see you will receive this blessing and that blessing. No. this gospel will give you the regular, will give you the governing principle of your life. You know why you are living today. You live every moment for a higher reason. And not only that, you see, the spirit is not a haughty spirit. You find that because Christ as our pattern, you find that we always, always let people see the humility of Christ in you and in me. Such a contrast to the spirit of Roman Empire. Such a contrast. That's gospel. And when people see that, they will be one to Christ. So I think this is very important for us to know before we enter into this lecture. I think tonight, I think our time is gone. So tomorrow, don't forget, 9 o'clock, starting from 9 o'clock. And, of course, we'll divide into two sessions in the morning, 2:12, and 2:30 to 5:30, another two sessions. So by this way, we try to finish this wonderful lecture. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we really commit this lecture into your hand. We thank you so much for having us know this background, that we may appreciate this book, may appreciate this letter. We pray that you really speak to our heart through this wonderful book. Amen. Now we are going to dismiss. We pray that your presence will be with us all the time. And we pray that you will lead us back tomorrow, that we may really have a wonderful time together before at your feet. Thank you, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, with this.